do 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 do. Movies or TV shows.
Could you be more brooding when you do that?
Yeah, we need something dark.
Do 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 do. Hello, smoking grandma.
Welcome back, movie fans. I am Pete.
I'm Brian.
I'm Neil.
And we are three dads navigating the films of our
Utes.
We still have to do that movie. We have to do it at some point.
Someday.
But tonight we're changing speeds a little bit, shifting gears, so to speak, to watch a TV show from our Utes.
Yep. Big character, little screen.
Aw, that should have been a tagline from some movie.
It has to be something like that. So we're going to answer three questions. We're going to answer question number one, does the movie hold up? Question number two, does the show hold up?
I was saying, like, we're going to do some adjustments because...
tonight we're actually going to watch three episodes of this show. We each chose one to see if it holds up, to see if it should be rebooted, sequeled, recast, or removed from the record. Reduxed, perhaps. Remixed, maybe. Turned into an NFT, perhaps.
Yeah. These are going to be easy questions to answer.
Yeah.
And why is that, Brian? What are we watching?
Well, we're doing this is a tribute to Kevin Conroy, who was the voice of Batman.
Batman!
In the Batman animated series, which is where he made his bones, and then carried on to Batman Beyond, and then was the voice for all of the Arkham games on the video game consoles, and then he even did the voice of Batman for several movies. Basically, if you hear Batman when you're reading a comic, it's in his voice.
It really is. The tribute cartoon panels that came out online when it was Commissioner Gordon talking to the animated Batman, but he'd lost his voice, like, got me right in the feels
there. Yeah, that was it was a real blow. Cancer's a bitch. We all have episodes like from the series that we really enjoyed, that really spoke to us, and we each picked one in honor of Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman.
Yep, and we'll probably go numerical, so we'll start with me on Heart of Ice, which is episode number 4 of season 1. Is there anything overall that you guys remember about this as a kid?
I used to come home from school, and I'm just in time for Batman the Animated Series, and I'd get to watch it, and it was awesome, and it was such a cool...
You must have been in high school by that point.
1992.
I was in high school.
So you were in high school. I was 10.
Yeah, I remember, like, being a junior in high school going, yeah, this is the show for me.
And that's the thing, is like it held up, like, there were teenagers who watched it, there were kids who watched it, and college people still knew of it. Like, it was such a good representation of Batman.
It was one of those shows for me that, as years went on, like when the animated Spawn was released on HBO, I felt like this was not necessarily like the same kind of thing, but the feel of, like, it was okay to be a grown up and like animation.
Right. This was a good Batman story come to life. But that was me. How about you, Neil?
You know, it's funny.
I can't see a gesture on there.
Well, it's funny because looking back on it now, I think I didn't realize just how good it was and how spoiled we were to have this. Mm. It was just that cool show that was on when you got home. But now it's so iconic.
Well,
and of course, who is the Joker?
Oh, Mark Hamill. Well, the other thing, too, is that in watching this, I realized that this animation style and this way of drawing these characters carried on not just to Batman Beyond, but even to the current way they draw a lot of the animated movies for DC. Like, they go to this art style, to this way of drawing characters a lot because it works, and it's kind of reason why I feel like the DC animated movies are superior to most of the DC movies. But I mean, they are awesome, but like, they are fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did they create that animation style for this? Like, can you remember a show that looked like that?
Well, I don't remember anything before this.
Before this, no, but here's something interesting I did learn in an interview with Paul Dini, who was one of the creators of the show, was that in the beginning, instead of doing all of their backgrounds on white paper, they did it on black paper. So when you're seeing the deep shadow, that's because they used a black paper.
Use that negative space.
And he said it was so expensive. Like, they couldn't... they did it for, like, the first season, and then afterwards they stopped because it was just a really expensive way to do it. But that's why the show was, like, so dark and in shadowed, and, like, the blacks are so black. It's because they used black paper.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminded me... I was aware of things like Dick Tracy comics from back in the day.
Yep.
And it kind of reminded me of that, but I just couldn't think of a show that looked like this. And growing up on all those cartoons that were made in Japan,
mm-hmm.
you know, this was just like, wow, this is what an American cartoon looks like. And it was just super cool.
Yeah.
And that appreciation has only grown. So, like I said, the questions are going to be easy to answer, but I just want to watch the shows.
Yeah, we wanted to have a night of just fanboying.
Yeah. Excellent. And I think, Pete, your pick of Hard Advice, I mean, Mr. Freeze, it's a great episode.
It's definitely not Arnold, but, you know, we'll make do. I used to see you.
Let's see, who's next on the...
Well, I picked an episode that I really like, but I also learned that this was Conroy's favorite episode that he did. And
really?
It's Perchance to Dream.
Okay.
He does a lot of different voices in it. He does a lot of stuff he doesn't usually get to do. And he said it's his favorite. And also, another fun fact is that it has a strong literary connection.
Mm.
And while you might be thinking Hamlet from the title, you're not wrong, but it was written by Joe Lansdale, who wrote Bubba Hotep.
Oh,
look at you with the man!
He is an esteemed horror author.
For the record, everyone, he is not reading from IMDb right now. He is just pulling this from his noodle.
Yeah, so Bubba Hotep is one of Bruce Campbell's favorite things that he mm-hmm. got to do. So this is pulling together a lot of favorites, and that's my pick.
Wow, that is okay. That's a great pick. Like, I don't... Okay.
And Brian, your episode?
My episode was episode 32, Beware the Gray Ghost. Mm-hmm. And it's my favorite episode because Batman in the show gets to meet his hero, the Gray Ghost, who was the radio show or TV show that Bruce Wayne watched that inspired him to be Batman. And the voice of the Gray Ghost was Adam West. So we get to see Adam West as the old hero passing the torch to the new hero, and
it brings up
a lot of like radio vibes and like the old timey
generational transitions.
Yeah,
and
so
stuff.
It's really like cool. I know it was one that was like Kevin Conroy really enjoyed too. But I mean, us as fans, it's Adam West, Kevin Conroy, Batman, like it's meta.
You can't lose.
So
you guys know how we do this. We're gonna go get some scotch. We're gonna go get some ice cream. And we're gonna be back. We're gonna watch the episode. We're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about it for what, 5 to 9 minutes, and then we'll go on to the next one, and then the next one, and then we'll have some closing comments. So check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Google Play, on the iTunes Store, on Spotify. And I don't know where else.
Well, if you're able to get it to where you're hearing us right now, just keep doing that.
Keep doing
that. But
let
others know you can find it everywhere.
All right. Let's get to this, guys. We'll be back in just a second.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I can't do the voice.
I'm Batman.
Batman.
I'm Batman. Na 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 na
like the opening sequence, man. Like, what were you saying? I think I could post 50 pictures.
Oh, yeah. I could just record the whole thing and just be like, and enjoy. Like, everything was delightful.
Yeah, it was really, it was great.
Obviously, we thought it was terrible and had a terrible time with this first 22 minutes.
Poor Victor Freeze. I feel, you feel for him.
Yeah, he's a tragic
character.
He has
no feelings left, but like...
He's not the worst guy in the episode.
He is the bad guy, but
he's
not
the worst.
Villain.
Yeah.
Well, we do. Well, yeah, we see like a classic modern day where the bad guy is not the comic book villain. It's, you know, the tycoon.
The corporate guy.
It's the, you know, what's a modern day version of a slime ball businessman who extorts others and backstabs and does nefarious things.
Well, the list is pretty long, but...
Take your pick.
Was that a word from our sponsors?
This episode is brought to you by SpaceX.
Well, boy.
So, immediately, one of the things I was thinking was... like the Christopher Nolan movies, he was always lambasted that you couldn't understand what some of the characters were saying. But Mr. Freeze in this had a very distinctive style of speaking mm-hmm. that was kind of like a Christopher Nolan hard to understand thing.
It wasn't the, you know, oh, Batman, it's a
duty. It was close. Take that mask off, Bane.
It was close. And there was one scene where I actually didn't understand what he was saying.
It was you know, very robotic and inside a helm, but...
And I liked it. I actually liked the Christopher Nolan ones, too. I've never had a problem with it.
Yeah.
But this, like, immediately on rewatching it, that was one of the first things I thought.
Cool. Well, you could definitely feel like that maybe Christopher Nolan got a lot of his inspiration from this. Like, he was using this Batman to pull into the real world, maybe.
Well, speaking of that, and then I'll pass it on, but one thing he definitely did not take inspiration from was the Batmobile.
No, yeah. This was...
Do you guys have a favorite Batmobile?
I really like the newest Batmobile.
The muscle car
that's souped up. Like, I kind of thought that was scary badass. Mm-hmm. Like, I love all the Batmobiles. I will always treasure every Batmobile. But the newest one, I was like, that one is scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Christopher Nolan one.
The tumbler where the
bike shoots out from in it.
It's very cool, yeah. I just did the Lego set of that with Leo. But I think this Batmobile is the one that gives me the nostalgia. Big time.
Yeah, it's very cool. Like, very streamlined. Like, and again, you don't know what time period this is taking place in, so it's got, like, that Buick-y kind of feel. But
little Art Deco going on. It's definitely, like, a 1930s motif, but then all of the technology, you're like, well, this could have been the 90s.
So... I guess in terms of brevity, did he hold up, guys?
2 thumbs up.
Absolutely, yes.
Enjoyed it. Reboot?
Why?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to run into that a lot with this. Like,
so here's the thing. I think some of these storylines could get, you know, done in a Christopher Nolan style or like a live action, non-Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze type thing. But, you know, as far as a character, you kind of came down on the side of Victor Freeze towards the end, for sure. Like, yeah, he's in Arkham Asylum because he's clearly got a few bolts frozen in place.
I see what you did there.
But I'd love to see a live action.
This version of Mr. Freeze is very
cool.
You know
what they could do? They could turn these into live action show, like... 22-minute episodes again, or 40-minute episodes, Netflix specials, that kind of stuff.
I think they tried to do that with Gotham. They did have, but it...
Yeah, but Gotham was still more on, you know, the Jim Gordon side of things.
And it was also, like, in the, hey, we're going to have a 48-minute-long episode on the WB, whereas we could throw some, like, HBO, Netflix, Prime money.
That's what I'm talking about. You go... Game of Thrones budget on some of this stuff, and you could really do something really cool.
And I thought this was a really cool Mr. Freeze. Like, yeah,
absolutely.
Solid
version. This was a good first jump in. Where are we going next?
For Chance to Dream.
Although
I will say, you touched on the length of it. I wouldn't want to see it rebooted or remade, but if there was like a director's cut that was maybe 6 minutes longer, like this was a very breezy 22 minutes.
22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was. I'm thinking like definitely 36 minutes for me. I could have used a little bit longer.
Yeah, you don't want it to go on for too long, but I could have seen a couple more minutes happily of this episode
for sure.
Definitely,
A full 28 minutes would have been very nice.
And honestly, as far as like, you know, should my kids watch this? Probably later this weekend.
They should watch it.
They should. This is actually one of the few times I might say to, because we've watched 150, 160 movies at this point now. For the podcast, I can probably count on my hand how many times I've said, I will sit my kids down and make them watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And this being all of the episodes, will have
it. Yeah, the show. Yeah.
This is important. You need to know this, child. Sit down. Don't worry. I'll make you French toast.
Callum may not appreciate, like, because it doesn't have a doctor or a strong female character in play.
I'm sure there'll be some episodes
that she will relate to.
The very first episode, The Cat and the Claw.
Right. It's all Catwoman. She might dig that. But all right, yeah. Like, should we kick it in?
Let's keep it rolling.
All right, so we're gonna jump back into a world full of Batman doing Batman-y things. Do 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 do.
It's actually more Danny Elfman than that, though, which is what we realized.
It's gonna be like, you know. All right. Poppy,
you done yet?
Nah, I'm good.
All right, let's watch next episode.
And we're back.
Neil?
Well, guys, that was very different from the first episode.
Very, very different from the first episode. That was pretty cool. Very dreamscape-y.
Well, you think like a lot of these, you know, shows followed introduce bad guy. You know, Batman has to figure out bad guy, bad guying, Batman, Batmaning, and then at the end, fighty fighty, Batman wins. And this was
nothing.
Not at all like that.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. I wish I could remember my reaction the first time I saw it. If you were going into this just thinking it was going to be, you know, what you said, a regular Batman episode.
You just totally like, throws you for a loop.
On earth
it starts mid-action. It takes right off, and he's chasing some bad guys. And he's like, drive in. And then, like, he goes through an open warehouse window, as you do. And next thing you know, there's sparkly stuff around his eyes, and we're into alternate reality world. And the rest of the episode, except for the final 15 seconds, is in, you know, bizarro Batman world.
Now, I remember watching this episode and trying to figure out what was going on. I'm like, oh, like, it's not Batman, you know. And this was before I was old enough to realize that, you know, the whole it's a dream trope. But it was, I was like, maybe someone's posing as Batman. Like, maybe he's been, like, I was trying to figure out all these ways, but then how you can't read. Like, what does that mean? I remember, like, racking my brain trying to figure out, and then it was like, oh, it was
dyslexia.
A cool reveal. Well, as an adult, I'd be like, oh, he's dyslexic. He may have been hit to the head kind of hard.
I wonder if he has an IEP for that.
Thousands of concussions later.
Batman.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's a great episode for you.
Just a Batman in his 50s who is just Herschel walking everywhere.
On the struggle bus.
Man.
Topical? Too soon?
No, because there's still another election.
Oh, that's right. It's still a runoff.
Yep.
So I thought this was just really... Yeah. This was a fun one. It was a great pick.
It was a fun one. I would have liked to seen a little bit more time in the dream world as far as, like, the relationship with Selina Kyle. Let's maybe even seeing Catwoman as not Selina Kyle. Like, there's all of... You know, really turn it on its head. Every single one of the villains that Bruce normally would have encountered actually becomes disassociated from their alter ego, and their alter egos are just normal people that are in his world orbit. It would have been a nice little twist on it.
Well, it may have been a little bit longer. You know, these are crisped, and looking at all the times, yeah, like, these are all 22
minutes on the nose.
You could definitely pull it out more, but I mean, you know, what they showed, like, I thought was really good, and I liked the takeaway of, you know, this is Batman was given his perfect dream, and even in his perfect dream, he's still rejecting it. He's still refusing to go along with it. He's like, I can't read. He's like, this is a trick. This isn't real. It has to do with Batman, and figuring out, like, he can't let himself even enjoy perfection.
Yeah, and he was really angry at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
That's about the angriest you see him get.
Yeah, that's a real good pick right there. He's like, he was pissed.
Yeah, yeah. And the little subtle ways they made his voice, like the dream Batman's voice,
and
change.
And then Batman's dad, Bruce's dad, is like just like I think it just went like an octave lower.
Yeah,
but his normal voice
control. Oh, Kevin Conroy, like I've been reading
such good control,
like books to Logan and trying to do different voices for different characters, make subtle, and it gets hard to keep track of, and it's hard to differentiate enough.
And then your voice starts hurting because you're trying to do a character in a particular way, and you just can't hold it for that long.
And it's really hard to do. The doppelganger Batman sounded off. Like,
he was 99% of the way there, but it was still like, that is not it.
Oh, it really is.
So we're obviously going, holds up.
Yeah,
Yes, no, yes. Those are always my answers.
Yes, no, yes.
You know? I do like my idea, though, of Steve Carell doing the voice of Mad Hatter, Tetch.
I think that would work really well.
I'd be cool. But again, like, I don't, you know, I would like to, I didn't get to see
voice
much
of Jonah Hatter. Hill might work for Mad Hatter.
Well, that could be. Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. You know, I liked this Mad Hatter, but we didn't really get a chance to really see this Mad Hatter, but this was a cool episode. Like, this was a neat way to do a dream sequence.
I have to say right now, HBO is not sponsoring the podcast today, but I'm telling anyone listening to this right now, if you have HBO, fire this up and just go down memory road and start watching the episodes. These are awesome. Yeah, I'm really enjoying this.
We're pulling some gems, but I mean, just looking at the list and remember, like, oh, I remember that. Like, oh, that one was really cool. Like,
the Cape and the Cowl neat. Conspiracy. Tiger, Tiger, I Am the Knight is one. I love that episode. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
All right. I guess on to our final one of the evening. Episode 32, Beware the Gray Ghost.
Now, this is really cool because we're going to hear Adam West.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Oh, Adam West gone. Kevin Conroy gone. Like,
This is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to get you in the feels. Two Batman.
Do you want me to get you some tissues in case the tears start?
It's my cold. I'll have them because of my cold.
Okay, that's what it is.
Yes.
All right, let's fire it up. Let's do this. Do-do-do-do-do. Oh, yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Now, hold on. All right.
Yeah, try Danny Elfman. You gotta get like. Sure, we're very appropriate for the last one.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, we'll be right back.
Was Adam West known for reprising basically like his Batman role? Or was this the first time he came back to it?
That is a really good question.
I mean, I think he had references to Batman when he was older. Like, I think, you know, people would have Batman on or would make Batman jokes and have Adam West. And he did voice work for a couple things. I remember I had a Twilight Zone audio book where he read one of the roles, like one of the short stories. So he's done voice work, but yeah, like this might be like the closest Batman adjacent I can think of.
Mm-hmm. And that's halfway through season one. I mean, at that point, this show had to be considered like a classic already if he's coming back.
Yeah, it got really popular really fast.
Well, and again, like, yeah, to have that Batman come on as the Gray Ghost, what inspired Bruce Wayne.
You have to think, at that time, the 1960s Batman was still in full swing in syndication. I remember it was usually on like Nickelodeon or somewhere else.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You could find it on a regular basis, you know, all over.
We used to watch it. I remember it would come on, and then like we would be able to watch one episode, and they would always play the fall, because it was always tune in next time to see if Batman would survive. So we'd get to see the first episode, and then we'd have to go to, I think it was karate or something like that on a Saturday. So we only got to see the first half of every Batman story. But we were really familiar with Adam West growing up.
Yeah. And I think that as far as the voice acting goes, he went toe-to-toe with Batman. I mean, this was not a cartoony make fun of his acting chops.
Not at all.
Like, he was very subtle, I think he just did a fantastic job, and he had a real range of emotions he got to go through.
When Simon Trent was in his apartment, and the landlord is banging down his door, and he's looking, and he's reminiscing of, like, you know, all of the stuff and everyone, how they all used to love him, and you can hear it in the voice that Adam West is using there, of just, like, this... It's not regret or disappointment with where things have gotten. Like, you really feel for the character.
Yeah, he had this sad resignation in his voice.
Yes, resignation. Yeah. Yes.
And almost a hatred of the Gray Ghost, because what was something that was a great moment is now the anchor that's weighing him down. And you hear this a lot, like, you know, and I mentioned this when we were watching it, like, you hear this, this is what happened to the actor who played the original Superman. This happened to Adam West himself.
Typecasting.
And it's brutal. But what I really enjoyed was the flip side, where he finds out that, well, I inspired Batman. Like, Batman is who he is,
yeah,
because of me. Like, my yeah. work mattered. And then you take that to some really important, like, cultural moments or events where people pointed to the Batman and said, no, Batman saved me, or Batman changed my life. Like, with Kevin Conroy talking about how, mm-hmm. you know, he being a gay man really resonated with Bruce Wayne, you know, being Batman, having to pretend, having to have this persona. Like, it really, like, this
and
was
then
the
when
role
you,
he was
when
for.
You realize that Batman is his true self, and Bruce Wayne actually is the facade that he puts on for the real world. So there's a lot, so many layers
yeah.
that are going on
and,
there.
You know, you've got the nostalgia of a son watching, you know, with his dad, both of them, like, enjoying this episode. You get, you know, the feels with the father-son.
I really appreciated those moments there where the moment when Alfred offers him the bowl of popcorn and you see the look on Bruce's face as he's transported, you know, back in time to being a kid. We've all had those moments where you're watching something, and I've had it a few times watching some of these older movies with my kids, is that I'm sitting here, my kids are nestled in, snuggling, we're watching a movie, and all of a sudden I'm having that very visceral feeling of being my childhood self on my couch in my parents' house watching this all over again.
Yeah.
And
I hate to tell you guys, but I looked over and you looked exactly like that watching this episode. Except you were holding scotch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, our snacks upgrade.
Well, you know, we don't have an Alfred, so we do the best we can.
But, and again, like, we have to take in that we witnessed all of this, like, all of this story, all this pathos and meaning and nostalgia, like, all these notes in 22 minutes.
Yeah. As Neil would say, a breezy 22 minutes. Like, these episodes are over before they, like, you're kind of left like, oh, why? What happens next? You know? And they do tie them off with a nice bow at the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, like,
every time. You know?
No, and yeah. I'm sure of the 65 episodes in season one, there are episodes that don't always end happy or end, you know, neatly, but. You know, I'm just in my head, I'm like, what movie delivers that amount of punch, like, that crisply? You know, we all watch movies that move us, but...
There's a short list of, like, perfect movies out there. You know, you have Princess Bride, you have Back to the Future. Like, some, you know, you're talking about the greats. And when I think about how much awesomeness is packed in, and obviously I'm fanboying like crazy right now.
Sure.
But
we all are.
We all are. And... But there's a reason for it, because it is that good. It's this show is really up there, in my opinion, in the pantheon of great shows. Period.
Yeah, and for all the good that, you know, HBO and then Netflix and now Amazon does for their massive productions and, you know, budgets and all that, they're not going to make a 22-minute show out of that. Like, you're almost obligated to have that hour coming up to, like, a Stranger Things 2-hour episode.
There is one exception.
What's that?
Bluey.
Ah.
I've only watched an episode of Bluey, but I did enjoy it. But I mean,
I'm just saying, like, if you're packing stuff into, like, 12 to 22-minute segments, yeah, okay.
I mean,
yeah.
You're absolutely right, though. Like, you know, I watch this and I'm like, wow. Like, I watch it, I'm like, man, that really hits a lot. Like, everything was just... well done, tight, like, good editing.
I want to go and watch some more.
Right? Like, you take a game, you mentioned Game of Thrones, and, you know, there are some great episodes, but you watch and, like, oh, if it's still an hour, and then you're, you know, that was a good episode, but I can't really point, you know, I can point to some episodes that were impactful, but I can't point to one that was as nuanced and varied, like, where I could pick multiple things that resonated with me on different levels.
No, that's fair.
In 22 minutes.
But that being said, like, I'm still left with this selfish want of, if there was an HBO budget for a live action version of this stuff for slightly longer than 22 minutes, maybe 36 minute episodes, I would love to see it. I would buy in on that pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, I would not say no. I really loved the character of the Grey Ghost.
Kevin Hart is Batman.
He's going to be all of them. This is going to be like an Eddie Murphy movie, a bunch of fat suits.
What would be, well, so here's the question now. If you were to, so this movie, you know, and obviously we enjoyed it, you know, but if you were to,
yes, no, yes,
right, the Neil yeah. template for this experience. So we got to see Adam West and Kevin Conroy. Now we're not going to see that again. But let's say you were to live action this, who would you have play Grey Ghost, and who would you have as the Batman? Like who? Do you take like the, you know, Pattinson?
Robert Pattinson. Patterson.
Corwin.
Corwin.
You know, and does he get the torch handed to him by Christian Bale, or do you go like how would you guys do your Grey Ghost Batman live action? Who would you pick?
Well, honestly, as a Grey Ghost, before he retired from acting, I actually think Bruce Willis might have been a pretty good pull in the Grey Ghost. I think he could pull that part of it off. As far as Batman goes, that's really hard. Like, there's only so few that have worn the cowl well, and it wouldn't be George Clooney.
Yeah, he admits that he would not have picked that either.
I don't know how well it would work, but I guess the closest thing to having Adam West would be if you could get Jack Nicholson to come back in some form.
Oh.
Interesting. Interesting.
That's very interesting. I like that.
Well,
answer your own question, Brian.
Well, for me, like, that's tough. Like, I really like the current Batman. I think the hard part is, like, well, who do you pick? I mean, we could have Michael Keaton back.
That would be pretty cool. Michael Keaton and
But they've already said, like, if they should do a live action of Batman Beyond, it should be with Michael Keaton as that Batman. So I'm trying not to pick that, but, you know, and Val Kilmer's having a harder time doing some of the action-y things these days. So I don't know, like, who...
why not? Why not go with Michael Keaton and then have Robert Pattinson?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it
does work, and I do like the new Batman's. Just he's still learning how to be Batman in many regards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's he needs the older, you know, the Grey Ghost's help to become who he's meant to be.
Hmm.
Yeah. That'd be cool. I would definitely watch that. Shifting gears real quick, we have to plan for next week, guys.
Yeah.
Have we done any thinking on that, or are we just going to pull a...
Well, I've been enjoying our you know, our surprise, you know...
Do you want to go back to...
yeah.
I have an idea for a theme that we could do.
Ooh.
And then
Ooh.
We have to pick. It would be something from our childhood that we thought really sucked, but might actually be good.
Neil, do you know what you're asking of me?
Do you understand?
You can surprise me, but I'm thinking...
Oh, no, you'll be surprised.
Wait, that we thought sucked in our youth?
So
we
didn't like it? Something that maybe we just saw it too soon, and it's actually a good movie that we didn't like the first time around. Is it possible that you have something like that?
I do.
Okay, well, I mean...
I do.
I could do some thinking. Oh, God, are we going to...
Yep, we are.
You're going to make us see that vampire movie, aren't you?
Life Force?
Oh, God damn
it. No, I won't do
that.
I don't know if I
can post a lot of those photos on Facebook.
I promise I won't do that to you, but I have something else.
Okay.
You can sleep on it, and while you're sleeping on it, I have one final question for you guys.
Okay.
Do you know how to confuse the Batman?
How to confuse the Batman?
No, Neil, I don't. How do you confuse the Batman?
You ask if you can use his bathroom, because he'll have no idea what a haroom is.
So bad.
No, I heard that the smoke detectors went off in the Batcave, and Batman told Robin to replace the battery, and Robin didn't know what a hurry was.
Yeah. I'll see you guys next week.
Pete, you got one?
Nope. Not playing this game, guys. I don't want to play.
Well, so speaking of playing a game, though, like I like Neil's challenge. Pete, if you've got an idea or Neil...
I will go first next week.
All right, so we've got a surprise.
And the fact is, I already know where I can find this.
Oh, I got one.
Okay, good.
I think I got one.
Not only did I think it sucked back then, I'm pretty sure it still sucks now. But maybe I'm wrong.
But as long as we enjoy it, that's all that matters.
I don't know.
I've made a huge mistake.
How did we get here? It is Neil's fault.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I'm writing on a note to remind Brian, guys, that when it's his turn, I did write a note.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, cool.
On that note, guys, see what I did there? That's it. We're done.
That was super
awesome.
I feel like this might be a longer podcast, but it's going to be the shortest for us to do.
Yep. Highest recommendation. Watch all the episodes.
All of them.
I don't think you're going to go wrong with any of them.
That's it, guys. Send us a message on Facebook. Check us out. Send us an email at dadsmovienight@gmail.com. And we will see you next week.
Do 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 do
movies.